and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. If I got this right, this will be the first episode of 2015, so Happy New Year. It's going to be a sort of special episode for the next few days, hopefully. We're going to just have a long chat and record stuff about how 2014 was gaming-wise and how 2015 is going to be. And so I've got some special guests, and our special guests are Mr. Joel Henry.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm very well. And the not-so-special guest is Mr. Matt Spooner.
Hello. So you're saying that Joel is more special than me?
Yes.
I've seen him. I agree.
I'm not sure. I don't disagree either.
And hopefully some other people will be joining us. There were supposed to be at least two other people on this discussion. But they've gone, oh, they haven't had any lunch, or just blatantly ignored us.
That's how special they are.
Lee Batrick, that's you. Hasn't bothered to contact us. Said he was going to be here. But there you go. So, how were the holidays for you guys?
Fine, thanks.
Which ones, if we're doing all of 2014? Do you mean...
Okay, the Christmas holiday that has just gone.
Okay, well, just clarifying, because Easter was lovely.
And how was Christmas?
I hate Christmas. It was brilliant.
You hate Christmas because you're a miserable git?
No, because it's a big waste of time. I'm not religious. I eat and drink far too much all year round. And I have to work through
having
Christmas.
Seen you yesterday, yes, I understand that.
Exactly. So well, it holds nothing special for me.
So when people say they wish it could be Christmas every day, you are the natural result.
Well, I'm the karmic balance to that.
Well, no, you're the shape of what if it was Christmas every day.
Yeah, all right, Twiggy.
Short, weebly, and you don't fall over.
Not a weeble. And I'm not short. And I do fall over. And then you fell over today in the Tesco's car park. It was very icy.
But did you fall over?
No, nearly.
See? Yes, weebles nearly fall over, but they don't.
Damn it.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about your relationship with a 1970s toy. Behave. We're here to talk about what people have been doing on blogs for the past couple of days is a review of how our 2014 went and what we're going to do in 2015. Mm-hmm. And because I'm generally lazy and we're just going to chat and then I'm just going to cut this up. So these shows will just stop rapidly, you know, they'll just be that's it. And then it will start again tomorrow.
Can't you do like a comedy klaxon or something?
Well, there might be when I edit it.
Well, obviously, I didn't mean like live. That would be ridiculous.
Though I have been looking at a soundboard that would enable me to do those sorts of things live into the recording. So you could do all the mixing and the sound and stuff straight into the recording.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, so hopefully
what
we'll be doing
more technology to go along.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that's how, look, you see, you're already talking about plans for 2015. We've got to do 2014 first.
All right, then. Uh-huh. Okay.
Segway.
So, gentlemen, at the beginning of 2014, did you set yourself any hobby-related goals? Matt, I don't want to know about any goals outside of the gaming hobby.
Still not convicted. Goal achieved.
Yes, but you did get points on your license, so...
Well, yeah. Yes, I set myself a hobby goal of painting more than I bought. That didn't happen.
I'm not sure that's ever actually happened for any gamer.
Yeah, no. I mean, that is a that is a common goal for gamers, to paint more than they buy. Has it ever happened?
No, I don't
in
think
the history of
anyone
gaming?
Has ever hit that, or ever will.
And if you do, you're not a proper gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should buy more stuff if you manage to do that.
Yeah. I also set myself a goal of not starting any new systems. That didn't happen either.
Okay, so how many new systems did you start?
I lost count because one of my best gaming friends is a complete hobby whore, aren't you?
It's not my fault. You're as bad as I am.
Exactly. We're like two heroin addicts sharing the same mattress. It's ridiculous. Look at this. No, you look at this. No, look at this.
That's what it's like. We do. we do tend to send each other emails during the working week of saying, have you seen these? And then the other one will respond, oh, I've just bought them. Okay, so how many systems did you end up... There's a question. How many systems did you end up playing last year? Right, while you're thinking about it...
Yes.
And, you know, perhaps you have to take your socks off so you can count on your toes as well.
That's rude.
Well, you know, you can only count up to 12.
Actually, I don't suppose I've played that many. We've talked about a lot, and we've purchased things for a lot. But I'm just trying to think what we actually played that was new during 2014, because I can't remember how much stuff was 2013. Because was Fistful of Kung Fu a 2013 thing or a 2014 thing?
2014.
Well, there's one, which is frankly brilliant, and we must play more.
Yes.
Dead Man's Hand, didn't you?
Dead Man's Hand, that must have been 2014 then.
Yep.
Which is brilliant, and we must play more. Obviously, yeah.
Epic.
We started sort of in the second half. Well, probably the fourth quarter of 2014. Really, yep. That's relatively new on the horizon.
Relic Knights.
Yes, I've played a game of Relic Knights. Really enjoy that. Want to play that more.
Open Combat.
Oh, Open Combat. Yep, that really enjoy that. Want to play that more.
Any Warhammer this year?
No, I've not played any, which is actually one of the things that I have been doing during 2014, and it was a difficult decision in the fact of being realistic about the fact I'm unlikely to actually play 40K as a full-scale game again, which is kind of part of why, for me, I sort of looked at Epic, and getting into Epic was to replace the connection with all of the fluff around 40K, because that's brilliant. I've read, you know, quite a bit of the fiction, some of the heresy stuff. So for me, the realization that we weren't going to play 40K full scale, and I know we've talked about Kill Team and you know, that still has some potential. But for me, that sort of transition to Epic was about not playing 40K. So I've actually started selling off some of the hundreds of pounds of 40K stuff that I've got. And I've not played Fantasy since first edition. But I know you've played some Fantasy recently, Mike.
I did. We'll come to me. Okay. What about any of your World War II systems? Or
Yeah, I played a bit of Bolt Action earlier in the year with Not Gay Neil, which is a really good system, and I want to play that some more. And actually, Bolt Action, I'm quite excited about, because I know you're not a World War II things with guns type fan, but the mechanisms are fairly utilitarian for any kind of skirmishy type gaming. And I know in our quest for trying to find that sweet spot of a kind of 20 to 30 figure sci-fi skirmish game, I kind of figured that would be a good framework to hang it on, and in effect overlay sci-fi over those mechanics, which apparently...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's effectively Gates of... Yeah, I was going to say that's Gates of Antares, isn't it? I must admit, have you seen the latest renders of the new race?
No, I've not looked at any of that stuff, because that would be bad for me.
Oh, I haven't... See, I hadn't been excited by the Gates of Antares figures up till now.
Yeah.
They released this new race. I think they're called the Guar. They're sort of little monkey people who drive around in huge, enormous battle suits.
Okay.
They are awesomely cool.
Did
you play any 6mm moderns or anything like that?
No. I mean, the big thing for me during 2014 is actually getting the hobby room sorted and into a playable state. There's obviously I've moved during 2014. Excuse me. So I moved from Geek Towers to Geek Manor. But one of the big attractions, as well as the proximity to work, was the fact that it's got a room that the minute I saw it was, this is the gaming room. You know, it's probably the potential one of the warmest rooms in the house. Sliding scale, admittedly.
More like the fridge than the freezer.
Yeah. But it's a really good-sized room. And part of the sort of second half of this year has been trying to get the bits and bobs together to make that effective gaming venue, rather than kind of, you know, it just being a table on a dining table. the joys of the separation and divorce and all that sort of stuff, which has been this year, is that I don't have anyone to answer to. It's brilliant. So I've got...
I must admit, it is a great gaming room. And in the summer, it's going to be lovely. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to coming to play games at your house in the summer.
Yeah, temperature notwithstanding, that's the only downside of Geek Manor, is it is cold. No, it's not cold. It's cool. It's less than warm.
It's polar, I think is the right word.
Yeah. But yes, I've got a nice 8x4 in there now, so that hopefully will encourage me to play more during 2015. But I've certainly not played as much as I would have liked, because I've not made it up to the club on many occasions during this year, what with various kind of work and domestic interference. Mm. So, I mean, certainly that's something I want to rectify over the next year. And I've spoken to, as well as yourself and the Tractor Massive, also about, with Not Gay Neil, about trying to get some more regular gaming in. And hopefully at some point, you know, paths will cross.
It would be nice. So the two halves of your gaming universe to unite.
Yes.
And then we'll decide that we like each other and we don't like you, and you'll be out in your ear.
Well, it'll be just like being married all over again then.
So what about you, Joel?
What were your
2014 resolutions?
Well, my initial ones were only Malifaux-based. That's my primary system. And I was going to try and play all the factions in 2014.
Right.
And move away from the Neverborn. And that kind of didn't work out. Because I moved to Guild and played them and won an event with them. And then went like, Guild will be fun. And just decided to stay with them for a while. And sort of just messed about with them and found the joys of Rukus McCabe. And kind of just dropped into using Guild rather than start moving through all the factions. But I did get three factions played this year, as I also did the Gremlin stuff for WAC.
Yep.
So I played three of the factions. I even got some Ten Thunders time in as well, with McCabe, technically. But so I played four of the seven. So I'm counting that as a, you know, almost a success.
Yeah.
More success than failure.
More than 50%.
Yeah. Considering I've only ever played one faction beforehand, which, of course, never bomb. So, yeah, that was the main thing I sort of was going to try and do this year. In terms of sort of games played, I've actually played three different sort of well considered miniatures games this year, which is Malifaux. I had a game of Warhammer at some point just to see if I could still keep my hand in and still enjoyed it, and found out that I didn't really, which is a shame.
Keep hand in or enjoy it.
Both. And I also started X-Wing. And
played X-Wing, yeah, I forgot about that.
And if I technically count it, because I think it involves more miniatures game than board game, Crossmaster Arena is another one that I've got into. Technically a board game, but since you see it, I keep buying models for it and building crews with it. It kind of feels more like a miniatures game to me at the moment.
Yep, it seems reasonable.
So there were four games for me, and yeah. So I only had the one pledge for 2014, and I got over halfway there. But no actual hobbying painting type ones.
Okay, and how about painting and all of that? I mean, you're very good at painting, Joel. I mean, you always get your stuff. You always seem to get all your stuff done.
Yeah, well, I have the one golden rule is I won't play with unpainted models. I make myself paint so before I can put anything on the table. And I don't even like fielding anything that's half done, so it forces me to sit there and paint. I can't ever say, and I will never be able to say that I will paint more than I buy. I'm not foolish enough to even suggest that one for me, because I just can't. I end up buying too much, but I've got plenty painted. I painted up Dreamer Crew, New Pandora Crew. What else was there? Well, at least two Willith crews. Maybe three.
Yeah, was your one that you did on all the grey steps, circular?
Yeah, I did all circular based stuff for the guild stuff. So there was a Lucius crew in there. There was a Sonya crew. Yeah, I did the Sonya crew in that as well. So yeah, plenty of that kind of stuff. And now I've moved to for 2015 a new set of basing as well. So
yes, which have been looking very nice.
Thank you very much. But more on that later when we get to 2015. So yeah, I've tried to do bits of hobby. I haven't got as much hobby done this year as I'd like. I had sections where I had 2 months off here and 2 months off there, simply because either wife got in the way or I simply didn't have the necessary drive to paint.
Yep. And you kept being particularly ill as well, of course.
I have had that towards the back end of the year, yes. But hopefully that'll be in the past now. And we soldier on, don't we?
Indeed.
We do.
What about yourself, Mike?
I don't think I had... No, I did have hobby resolutions at the beginning of the year. I also did the paint more than you buy.
How did that go?
It depends how you count it. Number counts. If you count each purchase as a single item, and then I probably have painted more than I purchased. Unfortunately, you know, when you get an epic army, that has quite a lot of figures in it. So.
Well, yeah, but if you sort of paint more than you purchase, but you've got to paint one entire purchase for it to count as one, yeah?
Well, no, you just have to paint one of the things to count. One purchase, maybe 100 figures.
So, shall we call that a crushing fail, then?
Yes, I would. I would. So I had that one. So that was an utter disaster.
I love the fact that when you move models around in Mike's house, you uncover furniture.
Well, yeah, but to be fair, you normally uncover more models before you get to the furniture.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean,
I tidied up.
2014, I think, for us both has been a bit of a voyage of discovery of, oh, I forgot I even had that.
Well, yes, because we found new systems to play things with.
Mm.
You know, the things that, yes, you could make up your own rules for, but it's just so much easier if you have... If there's a rule book that folks can go and buy and go, oh, we're going to play this. And, you know, so we've done... I've just written it down. I'm not convinced that this is the complete list. But I think I have played Malifaux Epic, Open Combat, Relic Knights, Fistful of Kung Fu, Star Trek, Warhammer, Saga, and Dead Man's Hand of this year. Or 2014. Which isn't bad, really.
And that's on top of board games.
Oh, that's on top of... Yeah, I mean, that's on top of a lot of Zombicide and things like that. There's probably a couple of dungeon crawls as well. And there's certainly a 15mm zombie game that I played at one of my non-regular clubs where there's a guy who is a scoutmaster and he puts on big... participation games with his scouts, and we play tested that, and that was a Sunday afternoon of just pushing zombies around, and it was brilliant. So I've played quite a lot. I have actually painted quite a lot.
We should. I know the challenge should be for you for 2015. Paint more than you strip.
Yeah,
I've got a lot. Well, no, because I've just stripped a whole NID list, but I haven't painted them. That's always been my thing. I can't paint. I've actually got a lot better at not stripping because I think my painting has got better this year.
I'd agree with that. That morning's awesome.
But I've painted it. So I mean, most of my painting has been around Malifaux. I painted an entire Ten Thunders faction army. Crew thing, a couple of hundred stones worth at the beginning of the year. Then I painted a Kaladi crew, and now I'm painting a new McMorning crew.
Is that your fifth
McMorning?
Yeah.
No, it's only my fourth.
I'll still ahead on Willis then.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, that's going nicely, but then I've put paint on other things. I've done quite a lot of painting on my Epic, stuff, so that I'm almost at the point where, you know, and this is a sort of a 2015 thing, I can go to a tournament with it. I did a lot of other hobby things. One of my other hobby things was to sort of continue the growth of the Malifaux scene in the UK and continue helping promote that. So a lot of my, you know, a lot of my hobby energy in the last year has gone towards that. And this show as well. I mean, we did 170 odd episodes of this show last year. That's quite a lot of time.
That's a big chunk. And of course, bendy boards as well.
And yeah, I mean, you know, along with he who doesn't want to talk to us, we started up a laser cut terrain company, and I do quite a bit of the designing for that, and you know,
and then I spent Lee has the other to day redesign it.
Then he has to redesign it so it works. But I spent, you know, a day the other day during my holiday just designing a building, and the day just goes because you're drawing and you're adjusting and all of those sorts of things. So, that was quite good. I failed on other things though. I failed spectacularly to paint any terrain at all. I made some new themed boards, and I collected the bits together to make more themed boards, but I didn't finish making all of them, and I certainly didn't paint anything.
I find it difficult to paint terrain when I have models that need painting.
Yeah, so do I. I find it difficult to paint terrain, full stop. One of my hobby things was to get an airbrush.
Which you've done.
Which I did get an airbrush.
We used it?
My lovely one. No. I have had an airbrush since my birthday.
It looks very nice and shiny in its box still.
Which was April last year. I have not actually used my airbrush yet. I will use it, honestly. I will. It's just sitting there.
That's a paperwork, yeah.
Done a lot. I backed less Kickstarters this year than I did last year, than I did in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I actually spent less hobby money, I think. And I even sold some stuff, which is unknown.
Yeah.
I did sell some stuff. Now, I suppose I didn't sell it technically. I took donations for whack and then gave people rewards for them donating to whack. But
of course not.
I suppose it counts. I went to a load of events. I went to places that I hadn't been before for events. I met lots of new people. So it was, I think, for me, 2014 was an excellent hobby year.
And don't forget, we mustn't forget, you also coordinated the single biggest Malifaux event in the world ever.
Well, that's true.
To completely, you know, kiss your bottom.
That's true.
But we mustn't forget that. You know, the GT was a big thing.
We did do that. But I didn't do it. I mean, we did it. It was a group effort. I mean, I think one of the things is, in the last year, I've made some very good friends, gaming friends, you know, new gaming friends. I already had some really good gaming friends. I mean, Conrad, obviously, I've known for 20 odd years. But I have made new gaming friends in 2014. And, you know, I think the idea of the Tractor Massive as a group of people who, you know, it's not a club affiliation. It's just it's a group of mates who live close to each other, and who travel to events together, regardless of what systems are going on. You know, what systems they are. I think it's been really good. I'm really proud of that sort of thing. you know, because it's not a club, and so therefore there are no club politics involved and all of that sort of stuff. It is an association, if you will.
Commune.
Commune's good.
Yeah.
Commune's good.
I think the reason it works is because of a similar mindset, and it's one that's kind of prevalent, certainly, you know, and the Tractor Massive has grown out of our involvement in the Malifaux community primarily. But it's actually about, you know, having a very, very similar mindset to gaming, particularly competitive gaming, which, you know, in various game systems has very different connotations, and something I've always been not scared of, but not necessarily something I've been excited to get into because of the kind of perceived negative connotations of being that guy or having to play that guy. And I don't think I've met anybody who is that guy in any level of the sort of the travelling around that we've done.
No, I agree.
Well, except Panzer.
Don't be nasty.
He deserves to be nasty. Have you seen him?
So, I mean, I suppose that, it's been a good year. 2014 was a good year for gaming for me personally, I think. I certainly enjoyed it. I got a lot more painted than I think I've probably ever done.
It's certainly probably the 12 months I've been most excited about gaming because of the number of things that we've looked at that have been...
Well, that's it. I mean, I've found...
...to play or that, as you say, you know, we've found systems that have allowed us to use figures that we've either had for years or figures that we've often looked at and thought, oh, I'd love to have a reason to buy that.
Yeah. Now, obviously, being gamers, you don't actually need a reason, and so therefore we probably bought them anyway.
More than likely.
But, you know, I've got one of those giant plastic Mantic Mars Attack robots, which are huge. They're like 10 inches tall, these robots. They are absolutely massive. That I got because we're going to play a game of effectively Victorian science fiction slash steampunk slash whatever we want to make it up to be. And I wanted to have a giant, what, a stompy robot. I mean, Conrad's talked about it before, being a golden age for gaming.
Mm.
But I think part of it being a golden age is the people that we've, you know, the friends that we have, and possibly it's an age thing as well. You know, I mean, the three of us on this call are very, very close to 40 or past it.
I'm glad you said. That one.
See, I didn't say you were 40.
I'm not there yet.
And you know, we're just, I think, comfortable with our gaming.
Mm.
That, and we're comfortable with where our lives are. That, you know, we can just play games, and you don't have to have a tournament scene around something and all this. You know, you can play Dead Man's Hand. I mean, Spoons and I played Dead Man's Hand the other week, and we did three games, two hours.
Yeah.
And it's just such a laugh because in both our heads, the cinema is just playing.
Yeah.
While we're playing, pushing the figures around the table. It's very good.
And for me, that's a direction that 2014 took significantly, was embracing systems that allowed that to happen. Because Fistful of Kung Fu is very much the same.
Yep.
Not necessarily fully free form, but again, like kind of the Dead Man's Hand, the rules are there as a framework, and you know, you have to work within them. But the, as you say, the cinema of what's happening on the table, and I know, you know, we are peculiar in our approach to gaming that way, but those are the game systems that have drawn us. And Malifaux's the same, you know, it has those kind of cinematic moments, it has a narrative, the games have a story, even if it's one that is created as you play, rather than some of the more kind of anonymous systems. And I think that's why I haven't played some of the other stuff, like Almost 6mm Modern, because it's almost more mechanical and less narrative driven, and I'm more into those sort of games at the moment.
Well, I think that one of the beauty of those sorts of systems, and we've talked about it on previous shows, there has been a growth in those sorts of systems being available. I know that some of the people that I correspond with on Twitter are getting into the Ray Harryhausen version of 7TV.
Yeah.
Is it Seventh Quest Voyage or something? Seventh Voyage. And that's giving them the same thing that, you know, Fistful of Kung Fu has been giving us. But we were talking about doing some superhero gaming, and there's a few people down our local club who started playing the Batman game.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll get them on and they can do a review and a discussion about it. And the Batman game has some lovely figures. Those models from Night Miniatures are some lovely figures. But I read through the rules and I was thinking, I'm not really super inspired by this rule set. But then, I don't need to be.
No.
Because I'm going to take those figures and we're going to do superhero gaming using Fistful of Kung Fu,
yeah,
but with Batman gang.
Funnily enough, Batman crew that I have for my Fistful of Kung Fu when we get around to that. Batman crew, the Ra's al Ghul ninjas and things.
Yeah.
See, I've got the Penguin crew ready to go and to play some games with that.
Very cool. I think it was talking about the approach to gaming and how we like the cinematics. I think we've got to an age where we're not playing games so much for the technical challenge or even the puzzle or the competitiveness. We're playing for entertainment.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
to entertain our opponent and to be entertained by what happens in the game. And the more entertaining, the more spectacularly flashy a death, no matter how lucky of an escape or how silly something happens, the more entertaining it is and therefore more fun.
I think that's been a trend through the gaming industry, and I don't know if it's because some of the key individuals that Mike probably knows them all are of a kind of similar age bracket now, of kind of in their 40s, late 40s, having gone through a similar kind of almost origin story around our gaming as we have, coming from similar backgrounds, have reached that point in life. And, even things like Black Powder, which is, the Warlord Games, Rick Priestley written set of rules in its various derivatives, but very early in the rule book sort of states, this is a game, and it, tips a wink of the olden style of gaming. This is a game for gentlemen where, the rules are a framework, but it's about having fun, not smashing your opponent and necessarily being, again, that typical competitive game. And I think, I think because the industry's reached that point, or the people that are in it that are now writing rules have reached that point, which is why we're seeing things like Open Combat, Fistful of Kung Fu, Dead Man's Hand, those games that are appealing to us because they're written by people like us.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably
right. I normally am. I work hard at being right a lot.
Mm. Well, that's quite a convenient point. So perhaps we should stop there for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow we can talk 2015, because I don't think anyone else is going to join us, and that's sad. But there you go.
They're sad-o losers.
They are. So until tomorrow, I've been Mike.
I've been Joel.
And I've been Matt.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.